It came up in my YouTube feed, so I watched her and I went, hey, I like this person. I really like Chrissie Hynde. So I did a bit of research and looked around for a biography and found one, and it's called Reckless. So I purchased it and spent the week listening to it and thoroughly fell in love with the... her desire to be something. She really, I'll save my thoughts for later, but I'll get straight into it. She set up a band called The Pretenders, and we all know who they are. Well, I do now. And the actual song comes from this Sam Cooke episode. So I'll play Sam Cooke. We're going to start off slowly and we are going to speed up as I go through her. Just a brief slice of butter, just a bit of a taste of Chrissie Hynde. I don't pretend to know too much at all, apart from what I read and what I liked, and I wanted to share that with you. So yeah, you're listening to The Banana Republic. It's 10:03 a.m. but in UTC land it is exactly midnight. And like I said, I'm at the beach. I did a park run and we are about to play.
I'm the great pretender, pretending I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. Oh, yes, I'm tender, adrift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone. Too real is this feeling of make believe, too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Oh yes, I'm the great pretender, just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown, pretending that you're still around. Too real is this feeling of make-believe. Too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Oh yes, I'm the great pretender, just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown, pretending that you're still around.
Hey, the great pretender. And so many of us are pretenders, aren't we? I'm going to pause this because, yeah, so many of us are pretenders, you know. And there's a line in there, pretending that you're still around. We kind of like go back to the past and there's this balance in life, hey. But this is not a preaching sermon. This is the Banana Republic, and the day is the 12th of August, and we're 7 minutes in, and I've got Adam D, Gemlog, Supernova, and also, hang on, what the heck, yeah, Tin do a great show this morning. He really did. I loved it. And I couldn't jump on to com. And I don't know if you guys use Meditex, but I do. And man, I've lost so many videos. Like a film, like a speech or something, and bonk, it just disappears. Straight down /devnull. And I actually want to write to the developer and do two things. Three, I want to say thank you for doing the app. I want to volunteer a bit of funds, and I want to beg him to do something to keep my videos, because I've lost so many. Anyway, there's this little part in there where I go like, hey Tim, I'm on the beach, I'm listening to your show. Da-da-da-da-da. I can't log into the commie thing because I'm on the beach, but yeah, that went down DevNull, as I say. And Ratsu, thanks for joining us. Thanks for also, you know, hanging out on Mastodon. There's some really interesting things out there. So their first hit was Stop Your Sobbing, and this is the song I want to play. I've got a nice lineup, and I think it's interesting. So we'll ramp it up as we go, but this is Stop Your Sobbing.
Stop, 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 stop.
Gotta Stop Sobbing. What a cool, cool song. That was the first hit. Anyway, it was a cover. And the next hit would be Brass in Pocket. So I'll play that because it kind of like grounds the show. And if you enjoy YouTube, which, as a comment, I never had YouTube. Well, I mean, I didn't have TV. That's what I was going to say. None of us had YouTube. Back when we were growing up, none of us. Some of us had television. I didn't have television till I was much older, so I didn't see any of the bands, and I certainly didn't have MTV. And we had like 15 minutes of music once a week on a show called Pop Shop, I think, by a guy called David Gresham. And that was quite nice. I saw some stuff on there that was interesting. But, you know, you'd had to watch 3 weeks to get like two good songs out of what probably they could get through four or five in 15 minutes. And it was lined up around Top of the Pops, but obviously it was videos. So when I watched Chrissie Hynde doing her performances of Brass in Pocket, which incidentally she doesn't like, or doesn't feel comfortable looking back at, and she's one of those people who don't like looking back at herself, and it took a long time to get used to her own voice, which any DJ on a non-radio will agree with. You just look at your, you don't like, I don't like my old shows, I want to delete them. But that's not the point. The point is we all share a common identity. So here we go, Brass in Pocket.
Got brass in pocket, got battle, I'm gonna use it. Intention, motion, restrained emotion. I've been diving, detour leaning. No visa, just seems so pleasing. Gonna make you, make you, make you notice. Gonna use my arms, gonna use my legs, gonna use my style, gonna use my sidestep.
There's some awesome bass in there. But if you go and look at the past videos, and certainly the rehearsals, and some of the, you know, three or four of them, you really get a good, you know, picture of what they were like in the 80s. And they had the very first hit of the 80s. So, yeah, that's Brass in Pocket. And looking at the time, I better hurry up and keep going. But now we're going to listen to an interview. And I'll fade this out, and I should fade it out, but I'll just go boink. And yeah, this is an interview, an early interview in 1984. Enjoy.
Just getting onto your album, Learning to Crawl. You were quoted as saying it's a bit of a salvage job. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know what we. We fired our bass player, and then the guitar player died, and we had to. I mean, I say it was a salvage job. I meant almost more in a mental. And when I say learning to crawl, I meant more like a sort of mental state than anything. Well, it was just sort of potluck to see if we could do it, if it would work.
So. Were they old songs that you got the two new members to come in and play on, or were they written?
No, the songs on that album were exclusively worked out with the new band. I mean, even the song Chain Gang, I'd worked it out with Pete and Jim and soundchecks and things, but then they were both gone by the time we got down to really rehearsing it, so I did it in the studio with these new guys. The material on the new album is the new Pretenders. It's really nothing to do with the old guys, other than they built and invented the sound with us that we're still trying to...
You are still going to carry on? You're not going to change anything radically from the Pretenders of the past, would you?
No, not at the moment, because I still want to go out and play the old songs and stuff. Yeah. I still, you know, I want the music to live, because I kind of believed in it, you know. I don't see any reason just to drop it like a hot potato and walk away from it, you know.
A cover. Well, no, that's actually the Kinks, but the Pretenders covered that, and that's a demo version of the Kinks. Oh, I'm getting a bit of wind, which is pushing my mic in and out. Okay, so next song up on my list. This is nowhere as sleazy as Tin, but this is nowhere as slick as Tin. Here, this show is like, man, I love it. But then again, have you guys listened to Screwtape's show? That's also, oh, that's pretty good. And Publius, I've missed 2 weeks. Tobe is too early for me in the winter. I just can't get up and kind of like it's a live show. You got to be there when it's happening. And Snow Dusk is pretty good. And, you know, his John Muller is also, yeah, he's got something happening there on his show. The Kupak, whatever. Ish, that's a big long name. But I love it. Okay, let's go.
Thank you.
That is Devo, and the reason I want to play that song is because this next interview is all about that, and I got too many tabs on me. I'll leave it for a bit.
This morning I was feeling fine, but this cat starts banging, man, what a swat. So I called reception, but to no avail. That's why I'm telling you this sorry tale. It went bang, I said shut up. It went bang, I said wrap up. Well, I'm aware that the cat was doing his work, but the bar driver back drove me berserk. He said, Captain, I said, what? He said, a captain, I said, what? He said, a captain, I said, what? He said, a captain, I said, what you want?
Show that song to Stoke Sauce, I really must, because that's Captain Sensible, and Chrissy and her band used to hang out with him, and before he was Captain Sensible, he was this other person, and there's a whole lot of history. I loved it, and I listened to it early in the week, and I've jolly forgotten lots of it. I should have written pieces down. The point, though, is that Chrissy Hynde had a deep desire for music and to be in a band, and she got what she wanted, but be careful what you wish for, because I think in parts of the story she got a whole lot more, and I found it quite distressing. I really did. I just understood for a moment how, you know, I see people at school and there's nothing you can do to talk to them or show them, because anyway, she goes on a journey, and so the first three quarters is all about her growing up, and it's a lovely story, really heartwarming, just her and her friends, and you get it. Yeah, so I really did enjoy it. So if you want to do something like that, check it out. But listen to this interview. This is her talking about her first band. I'm pretty sure this is it. Let's do it.
I don't know where that came from. And I mean, I had only been in one band back in Ohio, and that was with a guy I met in Cauga Falls. And he put a little band together called Sat Sun Matt. We did one show in a church hall of covers, and I was petrified. Anyway, I met him years later. Him and his band, Devo, came to town, and I said, hey, man, what was that band? Remember the band we were in? What did it mean? And he went, Saturday, Sunday, Matinee. And that was Mark Mothersbaugh. That's who I had my first band with.
Really?
Yeah. And I was about 16.
And that's the other unmentioned Ohio band, isn't it?
There was a few.
And they were a whole other thing. I mean, outside of punk and outside of whatever happened at the end of the 60s and outside of pop, Devo took, this art rock idea and just elevated it to a level.
They were the acceptable face of quirky.
Yeah.
And I don't like wacky stuff much, but
not a big Residents fan or anything like that.
I wasn't that. I mean, I liked the Ramones. I wasn't that keyed on the New York scene. It was a bit arty for me. I wouldn't have put it in those terms at the time.
Even in retrospect, you're not?
Well, in retrospect, things are always different.
Right.
We rewrite history, and bands that didn't seem very important at the time suddenly become...
But I would think you'd like television.
I probably didn't listen to much of that. Remember, we were only listening to reggae music. When I first heard reggae music, it stopped me in my tracks, and I thought, this is the future.
Right.
I thought I'd seen the future, and I was shocked that it never took off in America. I thought everything would change with reggae. But it influenced that punk thing. And then when it came into... Then disco came, and that fucked everything up.
Fucked everything up bad.
But when...
That was such a left turn. Why were we
in
that? That's when I went to high school. Is punk had sort of not really took traction in the States, in the late 70s. And there was just fucking disco everywhere. And then all of a sudden, the knack happened. And that was the end of it.
Well, yeah. because reggae had a sort of a spiritual base.
Sure.
And I think, black American music started getting a real smash and grab mentality.
Right.
And they didn't want the spiritual stuff so much, it's a weird one, the way that all, I mean, it still never really took off, reggae, but it certainly influenced house music.
Yeah.
In England was always very, very heavily influenced by
reggae.
I mean, James Brown was the guy that influenced everything.
Yeah.
Even reggae he influenced. He was the man.
So, all right. So the first album.
Yeah. So there's a lot I learned. So much. Whoosh. And here's a little something. This is Chrissy, a lot older. And, I don't know if she's a lot older, but you're going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Best in Bed by Chrissy Hynde. And this next one, too, this is the reggae bit, and then we'll keep on with the rock and roll. Got you. How many DJs has that song tricked? Because there's this pause right near the end, and it just stops, and you think, "Ee, there we go," and it doesn't. But I've got to tell you a story. I was in the army involuntarily, so that kind of like means I got 4 years jail, 2 years army. What did I choose? I chose the army. And off I went, and I found myself in operations, and I found myself driving this massive big ambulance. What was it? A Sommel 50, but it was an anti-mine vehicle, I think. Well, it was, I know, because it had a flipping long ladder and big steel doors and super thick windows, and you belted yourself up in this long... gear stick that was monstrous. They were Magetti's Deutsch mostly, and then they modified them all super cooled, air cooled, whatever. I wasn't interested in any of that crap. But there I was, and I think I've told the story before, but I had this little tranny in between me and the doctor. So I drove in number 7, so all the brass and stripes and all the weird stuff in front, and then I was number 7, and there was another 200 behind the convoy, and the first guy, anyway, I won't aggrandize it, because I didn't like the army at all, but I liked the people, yeah, so let's not get distracted. Anyway, I had this little radio thing in between us, and I remember that song being on the list, and I loved it. I had no idea who this was, but there I was, a little 18-year-old, driving this monstrous truck and going through the Southwest African bushland, and the doctor there listening to my music, and he was a really nice guy. He was friendly, a poor guy. He goes to uni for 10 years and ends up sitting next to me driving through the jungle. But one of the other stories is that when we got to camp, there was all this, he decided to sleep in the back on the stretchers, and I was like, no way. And it's got this huge flat bonnet, monstrous bonnet. It's, well, not that big, but it's big enough for two or three people. And I put my sleeping bag and my camo net and all the comfies on there. I had this beautiful sleep. The next morning, I woke up, said, how are you doing? He said, oh, this is sore, that's sore. And the following night, he was lying next to me. And there's the two of us clowns in the middle of nowhere doing military service, both wishing we were somewhere else. And me, I was wishing I was at the beach. So, I played the captain, I played Go to Sleep, I played Happy Top? Oops, I won't sing because my singing's bad. Another big influence or part of the scene was the good old New York Dolls. So, let's do this.
Paper. Shaking hands, picking on the local raver. Mama, you just can't believe all the things have been written by me. Buy yourself a copy, gonna pick up all the teenage. Papa, she's the queen of the hop, and she's a looking so pretty. A nice young girl, coming from a New York City. In place of America, and you can put me on a television. Buy yourself a copy, gonna pick up on a scene. Perfect, you shot him with a gun. But I hit a home run. Fashion, you know I'm always in big. Financial market, get a secret. Come on, come on. And by yourself, stop, we're gonna think about seeing it.
coming through your town. And incidentally, the next song actually is My City Was Gone. I'll play that. I don't think it's like one of the... Well, actually, it's a 7-inch, so it's from The Pretenders. And what I want to do before I do that is play another interview. So let's... I think I'm getting the hang of these headphone things too. Here we go. This is it. So enjoy this. And let me just tell you a little bit about this interview. It really annoyed me because it was an NPR interview, and the guy, he wanted to direct the narrative. He wanted, there's something that's not really nice in the story, and he was trying to use it differently. He was trying to make a statement, and Chrissy, he said clearly in the interview, he said this was a very hard interview, but I can see why, because someone like that would drive me nuts myself. And I think everyone should be allowed to tell the story, whether you like it or not. And this is Chrissy all over. Her whole life seems to be directed. Now, there's a whole few chapters. I should probably do two shows, but there's a whole lot of other chapters, because she got involved with the Sex Pistols and got involved with the New York Dolls, Iggy Pop. There's this one scene that I wanted to write or talk about. She went to Bowie's first appearance in the city. Her city was the first one that Bowie went to when he did his first US tour. And she talks about having Bowie in the back of her mum's car driving around, and I just thought that was interesting. And she talks about seeing Iggy Pop at the early events, same concert, same tour. And the other thing that was very big in the early days of punk was the fact that it was short-lived. It was only 6 months, really, she says. But Malcolm McLaren was there, and she talks about that a lot, and that early period. I'm a bit worried. Look at my battery. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? All right, I'll play this next song. No, I'll play this next interview. And basically, she tells this guy, going jump. But it's a good interview, and it's at a difficult part of the story. I found this terribly sad, but I don't think it'll cover that. But here we go.
Yeah. I suppose if that's how you read it. Then that, yeah.
Well, let's get to how people have reacted, because what a lot of people have focused on.
You know, I was having fun, man, because I was like so stoned, I didn't even care. That's what I was talking about. I was talking about the drugs more than anything. And how f***ed up we were, and how it, you know, impaired our judgment to the point to where, you know, people, it was just, had got off the scale.
What you wrote that a lot of people have really reacted to is, let me assure you that technically speaking, however you want to look at it, this was all my doing, and I take full responsibility.
Yeah, that just sounds like common sense to me. You know, no one dragged me into a park in the middle of the night with a gun at my head and forced me to do anything. You know, I went off with these guys of my own volition, and, you know, I shouldn't have. I was stupid to do that, but, you know, I did it, so.
There was one comment you made in an interview about the book to the Sunday Times of London. If I'm walking around in my underwear and I'm drunk, who else's fault can it be?
So what are you getting at? Why are you asking me this?
I just think a lot of people
want... I don't understand why there's... You know what? I don't care what a lot of people want, you know, and I'd rather say just don't buy the book then. You know, if I've offended someone, don't listen to my records, because I'm only telling you my story. I'm not here trying to advise anyone or tell anyone what to do or tell anyone what to think. And I'm not here as a spokesperson for anyone. I'm just telling my story. So the fact that I've been, you know, it's almost like a lynch mob.
Chrissy Hynde, Q Magazine, a huge music publication in Britain, once called her the high priestess of badass rock and roll. but she will be the first to tell you, you will never truly know her. I asked her what she regrets.
What do I regret?
What do you regret?
I regret losing a lot of friends to drugs that I took with them and getting people involved in, you know, being there when a lot of the stuff that I regret isn't in the book. In fact, the stuff I really regret, I left out of the book because I don't want to, you know, stir up some hurtful emotions to people, the people that get left behind. See, the only reason that I'm here and the only reason you're talking to me is because I made some records and I go on tour with the band. And that's really what I wanted to offer the public. And now, offering the public my book and me telling my story, I want to offer that. But the rest of me isn't really up for grabs, you know?
Chrissie Hynde's new memoir is called Reckless.
Yeah, the rest of me is not really up for grabs, you know. And that's real. Eh? A lot of people need to just be allowed to tell the story the way they want. And that thread runs through her book. But like I said, the first three quarters is just Chrissie Hynde, a rock and roll chick, young girl growing up in Akron, Ohio, and her journey. And then, boy, does she land in the 70s, and late 70s, sorry. She gets to the UK in 1973, and by 1979, she gets her first hit with that Brass in Pocket song, and it goes on from there. And then she loses two of her band members. That's quite a story, those guys. There's lots I could tell you, and but let's play this song. I don't suggest it's one of her, but here it is. It's about My City Has Gone. A cracking bass, cracking bass.
Thank you. countryside. They have been paved down the middle by a government that had no pride. The farms of Ohio had been replaced by shopping malls, and music filled the air from Seneca to Cahoga Falls. City, oh, way to go, Ohio.
Thought I'd throw that in the mix because it paints just a picture of a, well, it's not a crashing great song, I don't think, but I'm going to play out with the New York Dolls in a bit, but I'm going to steal some thunder from Stokesaws. I really hope he does a show this week, because last week he sorted out his studio and it looks amazing. It looks amazing. It really looks nice. I like it. And he's very proud of it, I can see, because every time I go home, walk in from home, work from work, he's like inside his studio. And he's also sorted himself out with work. He's down to 3 days a week instead of five. Oh, the joys of growing up. It's tough, hey. It's really tough, and I kind of like was thinking about Tobe, because earlier I said I listened to him less in winter, and it's true, because I'm freezing cold in the morning, and things change, summer's on its way, and it's looking good, so there's a promise of. And before I know it, the sun will be up at 4 and I shall be listening to Tobe again. So, sorry Tobe, old chap, I haven't missed a few of your shows. But, and that's partly because there's so many shows to listen to. And I try and get a good dose of a non-radio for my daily independence. Look everyone, Jamlog10, Tobe. Linux New Web. Hey, he checked in to see what condition his condition was in. Adam D. Gemlock Jam Supernova Rolly Adam D. Gemlock Adam D. Ratzu. Hello. Okay, last song, and this is it. Thanks for listening. I hope I didn't bore you. If you're looking for an independent radio show in an interstation, you can't go past a non-radio. So tune in, listen to, but more than anything, get in comm, have a few chats there, and if you're really smart and know how to use a bulletin board and everything, do what others do and go chat there, because I've read the chat in there, but I tend to get lost and buried, so... it's good stuff, and there's lots of other things, lots and lots of stuff. So, yeah, man. Okay, this is the very last song. See you, friends.